Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Bez Hashem BPJ, share number 128. That's Vice Panimi Joint, share number 128. We're talking about the importance of emotional intelligence in marriage. The next step after what we described in the last two shiurim is the concept of healthy self-disclosure. Now, even though it does say, and it's alluded to Shlomo Melech's words, that you have to be careful what you tell people, even the way you talk to your wife or your husband, and you don't self-disclose any all the negative things that you did tshuva on, you know, from all the way in the past and all these things. So, you know, it takes a certain amount of healthy understanding of what to say, what not to say. It's not like you constantly say everything that's in your heart. As a matter of fact, very often that's not a healthy thing, because right now your emotions could be like in turmoil, and you have to wait till you calm down and think clearly before expressing yourself. So all of this is true. So for example, we're just going to say this thing. We mentioned it in many shiurim about not to go to sleep angry at each other. That's usually lousy advice, because what happens is let's say a couple, for whatever reason, they have certain upsetness with one another, and they're both very tired and worn out. The opposite is true. What you do is you do your best to treat each other with utmost respect, but about the sensitive topic of what's bothering them, very often the best thing is not to discuss it that night, to just, as best as possible, sleep over it. And there's chazals that talk about it, where there was advice and stories about advice of when you're angry or you're upset, wait till the next day before you actually react. Same thing over here. If one, you know, and it happens sometimes in married life, with each one is upset at something with each other. So sometimes it's best that both, they know they're both tired. If they open up a subject now, it'll just snowball into something negative. So yeah, you sleep through it. You get a good night's rest. You think clearly the next day. You see it from a different perspective, and then you'll be able to do it the right way. So that is true. That it's not just saying everything that's on your mind or what you're feeling. But at the same time, on the opposite side of this, what's extremely important is there needs to be healthy self-disclosure of learning about each other's personality, learning about each other's behavior, genuinely listening and being interested of what your husband and wife have to say. So many times, it may sound crazy, but people are married many years, many, many years, that even after many years, they say they don't really know what their husband really is like, what they really like and what they don't like. And this is very, very common, even for marriages that are, you know, they've been married for a long time. Because there was no real, genuine attempt to understand your wife or husband. And it's very, very important to do that, to open up that world. And sometimes it's a lack of what we call the emotional intelligence. Some people have difficulty. They didn't learn, for whatever reason, they didn't learn how to confide in their spouse, because they lack the language or they lack the awareness to describe themselves and their inner experiences, or to understand their spouse's feelings and inner experiences. Sometimes you may be afraid to disclose something because there's a painful experience in sharing with others. Let's say who betrayed your trust or whatever it is. Again, and we're talking about Lashon Hara free subjects, of course. Okay, we learn the Sefer Chafetz Chaim and you'll learn about it, but presuming it's Lashon Hara free, sometimes it is important to discuss certain painful things that you experience with your spouse, so that they understand, you understand their sensitivity to these things. Sometimes you've been exposed to a myth that it's unsafe and unwise to expose your, you know, your vulnerabilities. Now, like I said, it can't be a free-for-all, like we explained in the beginning of this year. Just say everything. But in certain ways, in a healthy way, if it's a lasting thing or something you need to get off your chest, and you know your spouse, you train each other and you work with each other to be non-judgmental in your listening, then it's a very, very helpful thing. This concept of saying in your mind, even, it's none of my husband's or wife's business, is a major, major problem. It's very often based on fear, of distrust and things like that. It is their business, especially things that are day-to-day things. Now, again, at work, you don't have to explain any nitty-gritty. As a matter of fact, sometimes you're not allowed to. Confidentiality, other reasons, and there's no reason to go play-by-play type of thing. But overall, how the life is going and your internal states and your vulnerabilities in a healthy way is very, very important. People have difficulty because they feel discomfort when they're vulnerable. And you can't have a relationship without vulnerability. Vulnerability brings about a risk of getting hurt. That makes sense, but you still need to show that. Now, sometimes a spouse may show no interest, so there's no motivation to share. Or you tried to share in the past, and with your sharing, you got burnt because they were dismissive or even sarcastic or ridiculing. So that's a problem. There needs to be a sensitivity. So this is the idea. I'm just going to give a few pointers for a couple who's listening to this to start out conversations pertaining with each other. Again, you learn about Hilchos Lashon Hara, and you basically keep it vulnerable and positive, but to describe each other's personalities. That's why personality types, Be'ez Hashem, we started recording Shiurim on personality types, is very, very important. To describe the personality. How are you similar? They're similar to their parents, and how are they dissimilar to their parents? What your general overall hashkafas are, what you're good at, what you struggle with too, what your fondest memories are growing up, what are your hardest memories growing up? Again, Lashon Hara free, but just overall to understand each other. Even about earlier life, it is important. It's not nothing. To describe what it was like growing up as a child, as a teenager, how to go in the house, what kind of person, you know, were your parents and your siblings. Again, you avoid the Lashon Hara aspects of things, and you ask a shaila if you're not sure. If someone is not being disclosing in a healthy way because they're worried about Lashon Hara, let them ask a shaila to a Rav. But the ones, again, we're talking about different couples, we're talking about different people here. There's some that are so closed up, it's not healthy. Then they don't really have a relationship. The siblings, the relationships with them, how the parents related to each other, how they treated them, were there any major traumas in the life that could possibly affect current behaviors and to work through it. So that is an aspect. And also, so that's the one thing, the healthy self-disclosure. Another pattern of healthy emotional intelligence, of EQ, is how to handle anger. One of the patterns and habits that people have is being habitually or constantly angry. Sometimes it's a burning, blowing up anger. Sometimes it's a subtle internal anger. Sometimes it's a result of abuse or early loss or other trauma. It could also be a symptom of depression. When someone has a depression, sometimes they're lethargic and they don't even have the energy to express anger. But very often it comes about in the form of anger. Anxiety too could be that, which we'll talk about in a minute. It may be a very seductive and energizing emotion, anger. You feel empowered when you're angry sometimes. You feel you're able to do things when you're angry. So it gives the illusion that it's healthy in a certain way. Did you get things done? I can't take this anymore, so I'm going to get things done. But that is not a healthy way to work. Anger brings havoc to a person's life. The Rambam talks about it. You have to go to extreme with anger as opposed to other midas. Gaiva and kas are those two midas that you really have to eradicate completely and only have external manifestations sometimes. It's like emotional termites. It eats at you. It eats at you. And it could be managed. Sometimes we need extra help with it. There are ways to work on diffusing your anger. There's a Sefer Erech HaPayim that talks about it. Sometimes it's changing your overall hashkafos. Sometimes it's growing more in Hakaras HaTov. Sometimes it's more on being Sameach B'Chelkai. Empathy and compassion, which is essential to a loving relationship. It's the key to emotional intelligence, empathy and compassion. They are absent when you're in an angry state of mind. So an emotionally intelligent person can learn to manage anger. They don't have to have lives of their own, Part of it is, again, working on bitachin. That helps a lot. And the next thing after anger is fear or anxiety. And even if a person experienced severe emotional wounds, they can learn to manage their emotions and their behaviors coming from that. Pervasive fear and anxiety is a tremendous problem, and you need emotional intelligence to regulate that and to work through it if you have it. Sometimes it comes from a general sense of insecurity. You don't experience the world as a safe place. And again, that's where B'tachin comes in, because as you develop trust in Hashem, you feel safe with Him. So the world is a safe place, despite the chaos that we sometimes see around us. Fear and anxiety could come up as suspicion, which is unhealthy, of course, in a marriage, unhealthy jealousy or defensiveness or possessiveness or an unwillingness to try new things or endeavors or clinging behaviors, codependent behaviors. And it's a struggle that reveals your struggle with your self-esteem and healthy self-confidence. Some experts claim that fear and anxiety is the core primary emotion underlying other emotions. And we're motivated more by fear that comes from insecurity than anything else. And I have noticed, and it is true, and they were made on it, that a lot of anger very often is a secondary emotion. Sometimes it could be a primary emotion, where they're like a real angry person, fueled by their anger as primary. But in most cases, the anger is covering up an inner fear and an inner insecurity. So we discussed about regulation of anger. We discussed about regulation of fear. And we discussed self-disclosure. Now we're going to talk about atzlus for a moment, despondency, sadness. That's another troublesome emotional pattern. Pervasive sadness, melancholy, and despondency. And again, I really recommend to dial 1-718-735-7333. It's a Chabad Shiurim. And in English, you go to Tanya, Rabbi Y.Y. Jacobson's Shiurim that he gave quite early in his career. He actually personally attended some of his Shiurim at that point in time. When he gave these shiurim, chapters 26 through 32, including 32. Even if you don't listen, I recommend listening to the whole series. It's truly beautiful. He got through the entire Tanya, all the halakim, with the exception of, I think he stopped by the middle of Shaar Tshuva and Igaras HaKodesh, but the full first chelik of all 53 chapters and Shaar Yichud Emunah, he did in its completion. And in chapter 26 through 32, talks about healthy emotions and how to handle sadness, depression, and lethargic stuff. And it's very beneficial. And it does develop your emotional intelligence by listening to this. Sometimes you need clinical help. There may be a low-grade depression there. But very often, it is our EQ, our emotional self-awareness, that could help us get through these negative patterns. We have to remember we are not passive victims to our feelings and emotions. Even if we have a more severe type of depression that requires help, we get the help, you call people, you work on it till you get that healthy treatment to get better. These days, Baruch Hashem, there are many avenues to relieve symptoms, to help things. Of course, as you do it, you work on Memunah and Bitachin. People talk a lot about this subject. I will say again, yes, it is true that there is the over-dependence on medication, overuse of certain medications, but to say that it's never needed is irresponsible. Sometimes it is mamish a chelik of normal, healthy hishtadlus. So you ask a rav, you ask a shayla, you get hadracha. I'm not saying you do it on your own, but for those people that are in either extreme, either that they would never take any medication for anything, despite the fact that they're suffering from real serious depression or anxiety on one extreme. And on the other extreme, those that just take pill after pill after pill, or self-medicate, or go to doctors that just stuff medication without other protocol, is the other extreme. There are things that are in the middle. And there are things that basically, it requires a rav and hadracha, a Rav that knows about mental health, not just Stam, has the ideas and knowledge of it to know what the right balance is. But regardless of that, there is no question that we have the ability to have that internal work, to work through our own emotional intelligence and to sharpen it, because it is all within us. We have the ability to do this, and this will drastically change our lives for the better, and it will drastically change our marriages for the better. Bracha v'atzlacha.